Sportscast, October 28th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Read your Bible on your iPhone. Create an image and share it to the world. You can visit theinstabibleapp.com for more information. The Oregon Ducks won in a thrilling fashion Saturday night at home against the Washington State Cougars when freshman Camden Lewis knocked in a short field goal as time expired for a 37-35 win. And joining us to talk to us a little bit about Duck football and Pac-12, Mr. Tyler Turner. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Tyler, what a finish. What a game. Not expected. You were kind of expecting a little bit more of a bigger margin for Oregon. What were your thoughts?
Where do I nail this down to? Okay. First of all, they won. Second of all, they didn't play great. Third of all, Washington State played pretty well. And Mike Leach has played very well against Oregon. Fourth, the national media just exhausts me. They, like, just week after week just run off of each game. Like, last week when they beat Washington, it was like, oh, this great comeback. They're, you know, positive, dark horse playoff team. I think they have a good team. And then this week after, I know the people are like, well, I think they're going to end up losing again, and they shouldn't have won the game against Washington State. It's just like the media drives you nuts. If you follow the media, I'm like, man, I hope players don't follow the media because, man, they're like blowing in the wind. They'll change their opinion week to week because of how a game goes. And it doesn't take anything into context. Don't take into context that Oregon had a very emotional win against their biggest rival on the road. Don't take that into context. Playing against a Washington State team that, while not extremely talented, runs a very, very dangerous offensive scheme. They are frequently, under Mike Leach, a top 10 offense, frequently the number one passing offense, which they are this year. They're the number one passing offense in the nation. So if you are not completely dialed in or there's emotional letdown, it's a team that all of a sudden can put up a lot of yards and even points on you, especially because of their passing attack. So, I don't know, just kind of frustrating because I follow a lot of different podcasts and listen to a lot of different, follow a lot of different podcasts, YouTube channels, and they were all over Oregon after the kind of top of mind victory over Washington, but they're all jumping off because they barely beat Washington State. Whatever. Anyways, it was a good game. Washington State, like I said, played very well. Anthony Gordon, he leads the nation in passing yards, and he took advantage of Oregon defense and was very accurate with the ball. And it also hurt Oregon. They were without all Pac-12 linebacker Troy Dye. And that did affect them. And really over the middle, they had a lot of trouble with a lot of the crossing pattern, something that Dye, who's pretty good in pass coverage, could have been there. Another thing they struggled with was the draw out of the backfield to Max Morgan, the running back for Washington State. And Dye was very good at reading and reacting. I thought the other guys were just younger. They didn't react as quickly, which allowed Borgie to get to the second level pretty quickly. Overall, Oregon offensively in the second half especially was good. On the ground, they were good the whole game. They ran I don't know the exact numbers in front of me, but they ran for like 350 yards on the ground. C.J. Verdell had 23 carries for 254 yards, three touchdowns, including an 89-yard touchdown. Justin Herbert did not do a lot in the first half. Once again, I think some defensive coordinators have realized if you are able to complicate the back end or complicate the back end, if opposing defenses can complicate it, he does not see things. It's one of the weaknesses of his game. He doesn't see things always very quickly. To go along with the fact that I still think Oregon's wide receiver core is probably the weakest position group on the team. I was going to say the weakest position group. I'd probably, even off the total team, offense, defense, I'd probably say the wide receiver group. There's just no one that's a real number one receiver. And Washington State was able to complicate things in the back end, and Herbert really wasn't making the throws. He was taking off and running. He also gave up a couple ill-advised sacks. One sack took him out of field goal range. It wasn't a great, but the second half was a lot better. Herbert was a lot better, and obviously he took them for the second straight week on a game-winning drive, which is big. It's big time. Another thing that I would say that was kind of a knock on him was that he didn't step up in big games, and obviously he didn't step up to the end of the Auburn game. Well, the last 2 weeks, he took some game-winning drives. So can't really say that knock on him anymore. But they were really able to run the ball. We ran over Washington State. I mean, the offensive line and tight ends, wide receivers, didn't matter. We're opening up massive holes. C.J. Verdell played well. He cut well. He ran well. Ultimately, that is what really gave them the edge in the second half. And Oregon really should have put the game away. They had the ball in Washington State territory with about, I think it was like 3 minutes left, 34-28. And there was a swing pass to C.J. Verdell, and Verdell dropped it. And he had all kinds of running room. And then they ended up punting instead of going for it on fourth down. And Anthony Gordon led Washington State on a 90-yard drive and gave them the lead with 1 minute left. And then in the final minute, Justin Herbert took Oregon down the field about 52 yards and set up a 25-yard field goal for Cam Lewis to win the game for Oregon. So, yeah, it was a good game. It was an entertaining game. It was Pac-12 after dark, and Oregon won. But it was not the best Oregon game. They did not play their best, and they still won, which is good.
The Oregon defense gave up a lot of yardage and some of the big plays in the football game, but they continued to make impressive plays for each game. This week, we saw Javon Holland grab a pick six in the first half, and then we also saw Verone McKinley grabbed an interception in the end zone to stop a scoring drive for Washington State. The Oregon defense has now come away with interception in 14 of the last 17 games, including 7 games with multiple interceptions during that stretch. What were your thoughts about their defense?
It was not their best game. The last two games have not. The first 6 games, SP Plus by Bill Connolly on ESPN had Oregon as the number one rated defense in the nation, in all pretty much top 10 in all defensive statistics. They were like a top 5 defense in defensive efficiency. Last two games, not good, especially against the pass. They have given up. They gave up 400 plus yards to the air against Washington State. They gave up 300 plus yards in the air against Washington the week before. Their pass defense has really been susceptible the last 2 weeks. They've actually not been bad against the run. Washington State wasn't able to run very effectively, and even Washington in the second half was not able to run very effectively. So their run defense has been pretty decent. It's their pass defense. And we're going to get into the USC game, but USC is a pretty good at the pass and attack and has a bunch of really good wide receivers. So that's a little problematic this week. I would say that it's their defense. They're no longer a top 10 defense. They're still top 20. And I think that's ultimately where they belonged. I thought that the early season rankings, according to their defense, were a little inflated. We played some pretty bad offenses. I mean, Cal doesn't have a good offense. Stanford, early in the season, didn't have a great offense. Colorado did have a good offense. I don't know why they played so bad that game. But as a whole, I thought it was a little bit inflated. I think Oregon has a good defense. I don't think they have a great defense. I still think they're lacking talent on the defensive line, especially. and you've seen that the last two games. I know we talk about pass defense, but remember, pass defense is so much more than the secondary. Pass defense also means the defensive line has to get pressure on the quarterback. And the last 2 weeks, they have not gotten pressure on the quarterback. Plain and simple, they haven't. And I think that's actually affecting things more. I've just noticed that whether it was Jacob Eason for the Washington game or Anthony Gordon for the Washington State game, they have too much time. And, you know, good wide receivers will get open. And teams like Washington, Washington State, USC have good wide receivers, and they eventually get open. And I think our safeties, I'm not going to name names, once again, not naming names, but there's a couple safeties that I don't think are necessarily on that level that makes it an elite defense yet. I think there's a little bit of a weak spot, and it gets taken advantage of, especially when you see big plays to, like, slot-type guys, big, maybe kind of big split-out kind of H-back tight end types. And that's the guys that have been having some pretty – and running backs out of backfield. And you saw Troy Dye not being available this week, and they're throwing the ball to Borgie out of the backfield a lot. So I think this is a good defense. I don't think this is an elite defense. I think they're lacking a couple elite players on the defensive line and at the safety spot in the secondary and even at the linebacker spot behind Troy Dye. And, yeah, so that's it.
Looking forward, onward, you mentioned USC. USC is not a ranked team or anything, but they're highly talented. Tyler, what are your expectations when they visit the Trojans?
Well, there's a couple different layers to look at this. That I think, like, people, I could see why people are skeptical of the Oregon defense, especially how they've given up so many points, so many yards the last two weeks, especially in the pass game. And USC has a top 20 passing offense. They have one of the best receiving corps, not just in the Pac-12, but in the country. Guys like Michael Pittman, Tyler Vaughn, Armon Ross, St. Brown, Drake London, Velus Jones. I mean, these guys are all guys that are going to be playing on Sundays. They have a solid quarterback, Keaton Slovis. Okay, I forgot his name, whatever. Keaton Slovis, a true freshman. I can see the success, how people are maybe like, man, Oregon, and you know how the media reacts, like week by week. I mean, I have probably followed this college football season from a media and from an outside perspective more than any other. And my goodness, is the media so reactive? Clemson wins by one. Clemson's not who they're supposed to be. Should they even make the playoff? And then, you know, it's like every week, it's like Oregon in trouble scoring points. Oregon's offense is not as good. There was literally a narrative that Oregon State had a better offense than Oregon. And since then, Oregon has been averaging like 300 yards on the ground a week, have been back to having a top 25 offense. Guess what? Those people all of a sudden disappeared. You can't react week to week. You have to look at the thing from a full picture. Anyway, a few things about USC. They have had a ton of injuries, especially at defense on all levels and at the running back position. They currently are down their first three running backs. Vava Malapai, Stephen Carr, and Marquise Stepp are all out. That's big because that could make them very one-dimensional. And Caden Silvis has been good, but I don't think he's as productive or efficient as a guy like Anthony Gordon for Washington State. So Graham Harrell is the offensive coordinator for USC. He was the former quarterback at Texas Tech of Mike Leach. Mike Leach is the head coach of Washington State. Graham Harrell runs the same kind of offense as Washington State. So it is fair to look at the personnel for USC and the personnel for Washington State and compare because they run the same kind of offense. USC has the better wide receivers, but they have a ton of injuries at running back, and Washington State still has the threat of a very good running back in Borgie that necessarily USC does not have the threat because of injuries. And Anthony Gordon, who's a senior, has been a more efficient quarterback than a true freshman Slovis. Slovis has played well as a true freshman, but he has not been as good as like a senior. He's been a little less efficient, especially on the road. Now, he has been better at home. What I would say with these injuries and the fact that they don't really have any really big-time threat at the running back position, I would advise and I would hope that Oregon put some pressure on the true freshman, Slovis, therefore making it more difficult to be efficient from the quarterback position in the air raid and just make him, you know, be off target. And so that's one way, that's one thing to look at when you talk about the game. The other is that all the injuries on the defense to USC, they might have some guys back, but their defense, especially last week against Colorado, what did not look very good because they were playing a lot of backups, and I think Colorado had like 500 yards of total offense. Probably should have won the game, but they ended up losing in the end to USC. But the defense didn't look very good. I think USC is going to play better on defense at home, especially if they have some guys back. But Oregon's offense, which, like I said, 4 or 5 weeks ago, was not playing great. You know, they had all the injuries at the wide receiver position. People were saying that Oregon State had a better offense than Oregon, but Oregon was not top 40 in any really offensive statistics, whether it be rushing, passing, total offense, scoring offense. But now, you know, they scored 45 against Colorado. They scored 35 against Washington. They scored 37 against Washington State. They had 550 yards of offense against Washington State. They had 400 plus yards of offense against both Colorado and Washington. They now are top 25 in total offense, top 25 in scoring offense, top 25 in passing offense. They're probably a little outside the top 25, but getting close to there in rushing offense. They're top 25, I think about 23rd in offensive efficiency. So suddenly an offense that everyone was saying looked terrible now is actually almost on par with the defense. And I think if you look at this offense and how it matches up against the USC defense, USC has struggled at linebacker. USC has struggled stopping the run. So I think this our offense is going to be able to run on USC. I think it's also going to be able to open up the pass. I think we're going to be able to get some good offense against their defense. And if our defense can just get some pressure on Slovis, make him inaccurate, make him turn the ball over, I think that this actually is a pretty good matchup. And I also think that while we have lost to Washington State 4 consecutive years, Washington State game the last 2 years came after a very emotional win over our biggest rival in Washington. And there is going to be a letdown. There, if you just have this emotional high, there's going to be a letdown. Now, you could say that there was an emotional high after the last second victory over Washington State. Possibly that could be true. But I also heard the interviews after, and there was kind of a feeling from like guys like Cristobal and Herbert that we won, but we didn't play great. And it didn't seem like, wow, we're going to only celebrate a last-second victory, but it wasn't necessarily our best game, meaning that maybe on the inside, the team didn't necessarily feel like it was that emotional high. It was more like, man, we almost lost the game that we should have won, instead of the game against Washington when you could tell the whole team was on this high. You could just kind of tell. And it worried me a little. I didn't say it a lot, but I could just sense, man, they're pretty high after this Washington game. Are they going to be come a little bit against Washington State? And they did. They came down in the first half. Honestly, if Anthony Gordon does not throw that interception to Verone McKinley, they were driving. The first half, Washington State looked a lot more inspired. Oregon looked pretty flat. And Washington State probably could have. Oh, and he threw a pick six, too. If he hadn't thrown a pick six, if he hadn't thrown that bad interception in the end zone, Washington State could have been up by a couple touchdowns and Oregon would have been in trouble. Oregon looked a lot more inspired, a lot more present in the game in the second half than they did in the first half. And I think part of that was due to the emotional letdown. I think we always loyalty in the Pac-12. They are the true blue blood. A ton of the players for Oregon are Southern Cal kids. If we win this game, this is our toughest game left. It's our final game before a bye, so I think Oregon's going to come out, and I think they're going to pretty much give 100% to USC. I think USC will too, but I think Oregon's better.
Like Tyler says, USC just beat Colorado 35-31, an impressive win. Vegas has the Ducks winning by 20 points. Looking good.
They have the Ducks winning by 20 points over USC?
Yeah.
Really? They're not 20-point favorites.
The game is this Saturday, November 2nd, 2019. November 2nd, this Saturday at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The Trojans overall have a record of 30.
Hey, hold on. 20
points. What was that?
You said Vegas has them as a 20-point favorite?
Yes, correct.
I don't. Okay, so because it was a 7-point favorite yesterday.
Let me double check.
I don't think they're a 20.
I apologize. It's a predicted score. There's one side that says that they'll be winning by 20 points, 44-22.
Oh, but they're a 7-point favorite, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah. Because if they had to be a 20-point favorite, I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's for them to think they're going to beat. I mean, could Oregon beat them by 20 points? Yes, I do. I could see Oregon winning by 20 points. I could. Because I think Oregon is really going to come out against USC, who is one of their biggest rivals. That is a big-time blue blood. This is their toughest game left. I don't see them overlooking USC one bit. And I don't think, like I said, I'm going to belabor the point. I did not get the sense that it was an emotional, they're going to have an emotional letdown against Washington State. Even how I heard the interviews afterwards, Oregon's like, yeah, we didn't play very good. And they're right. When you see these big victories, if you see a team super celebrating and there's almost this feeling of we've gotten there, that always just scares the crap. I remember last year, Washington versus Oregon. Oregon beat them in overtime. And I remember how they were reacting. You saw all the videos on social media, they're celebrating in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, celebrating in the – I was going on to my next point without finishing it. Celebrating in the locker room. I was like, this is like they just won the Super Bowl. That's not good. Guess what? Next week at Washington State, they fell down 27-0 at halftime. And I was not shocked. I was like, you know what? You could tell. You could tell that they thought they won the damn Super Bowl. And then you can tell there's going to be a notional letdown. I don't think it was quite that bad. And I also think this year's Oregon team is better talent-wise and overall than last year's. But they, in the first half, there was a letdown. Stupid penalties, missed tackles, pass protection by the offense, drop passes. There was a letdown. Oregon was not executing great, and Washington State looked more inspired. But a more talented Oregon team was able to keep it tied, and in the second half they were better, but the problem was Washington State continued to play well, and that gave them a chance in the end. I don't think that there's going to be a letdown. I think this game has been circled for Oregon. I think Oregon's going to come out actually really fast against USC. The only thing I worry about is USC does have some very talented wide receivers. And if they're able to make some big-time plays, just because of the talent. They did it against Utah. I think Utah's a better team than USC, but those talented receivers made play after play of big plays against that Utah secondary, and that was able to win USC the game over Utah. I think a much better Utah team. You look at Utah. Utah's good. Utah's blanking everyone. Utah's won pretty much every game by 3-4 touchdowns. Utah's looked better overall than Oregon, but when they played USC, those really terrific, talented wide receivers kept on making these big plays downfield and basically won the game for USC. So that is that's the thing. Those USC receivers are really good, so they can make plays. And if they do make a bunch of big plays, USC has a chance.
Just like we were talking about, how would you rank USC's talent?
You mean what? What do you mean? How would I rank their talent?
Like how would you rate them? Like I they're pretty high talented squad.
Okay, now remember how I told you I don't rank it. I go by objective measures. With my formula you're talking about.
Yeah, with your formula. Okay, I was about to ask you. Yeah.
Remember to explain it again. I don't subjectively rank anyone. How I rank people is the teams with the highest recruiting ranking for a 4-year average, plus the number of 5-star players on the roster, plus the number of 4-star top 100 players, plus the number of blue chippers goes into the ranking. So it's a very objective. It's meaning the amount of highly rated recruiting, however the recruiting rankings rate each individual player goes into the ranking. USC, according to my formula, is number 5. If you go by the team talent composite by 247 Sports, which uses the Gaussian distribution theory, which is a bell curve, they are rated number 4.
Wow.
So USC on paper has one of the most talented rosters in college football. Unfortunately, they don't have a great coaching staff. Clay Helton, just not. I wouldn't say any. Graham Harrell, the offensive coordinator, is probably the best coach on that staff. I don't love their defensive coordinator, Clancy Pendergast. Overall, USC has not played up to their talent level. If they ever did, they'd be competing for the national title. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's probably why they'll fire Clay Helton. But they do have the talent. In particular, specifically, a lot of that top-end talent lies in the skill position. So wide receiver, defensive back, quarterback, and running back. I'm going off the top of my head. They probably have like 5 top 100 receivers. I think 2 of them are 5-stars. They probably have a 5-star quarterback. He's out for the year injured. They had a couple top 100 running backs and a former 5-star. And at defensive back, they have a couple 5-stars and a couple other top 100. So their skill position, they're not as talented on the offensive and defensive line. They have not recruited quite as well. And so therefore that matters too. To be most talented in the trenches is something that you want. And that's where I'd say even like Oregon, a lot of their best players actually are in their front 7 on defense. They have a lot of their most talented players, and in their offensive line. So I think that's where Oregon really has an advantage on the line of scrimmage, both sides of the wall. And the skill position, we're not as good at wide receiver, but I think we're able to utilize our skill guys enough, especially by dominating the line of scrimmage, that I just think we're going to be able to – I just think that our team as a whole matches up pretty well. I think it's a pretty good matchup for Oregon. I think we match up pretty well against USC.
Yeah, this game is going to be quite intriguing. It's going to be an 8 p.m. Eastern game, very watchable. It's not going to be in the Pac-12 after dark hours. And Tyler's preaching confidence. Oregon's going to win this. I feel it. So, but – the game has to be played.
The game has to be played, not to look ahead. But I don't think the last 3 teams we play Like, if you were going to ask me before the season, what, like, I maybe I said it. You probably did ask me. I don't know. What were the toughest games? I always thought the toughest games this year were Auburn, Washington, yep. Washington State, and USC.
Wow.
So I always thought those were the four toughest games. And I still think that. And we lost that last second to Auburn. We won at the end of the game versus Washington. We won at the end of the game versus Washington State. Now we got USC. If we're able to beat USC, plain and simple, I think Arizona and Oregon State aren't very good teams. It's also at home where Oregon has hardly lost the last couple of years. I don't think we lose those games. I really don't, under pretty much any circumstances. And then Arizona State, it's a little tricky. They're a little better than the other two games. It's on the road. Tempe's kind of a, you know, especially if it's a Pac-12 after dark, that can get a little bit thing. But I don't think Arizona State's very good, and it's kind of showed the last 2 weeks. Arizona State got blew out by Utah, and then they got blown out by UCLA on Saturday. I don't think they're very good. I don't think they have a good offensive line. They don't have a good secondary on defense. But so I think Oregon, if they beat USC, I think we finish 11-1, which means
Pac-12 championship probably against Utah.
Probably. Well, I'm gonna actually give you a game predictions. I'm gonna let you know. I actually don't think it's gonna be Utah. But if they win the Pac-12 championship and finish 12-1, I think Oregon makes playoff.
They're number seven right now. They're looking good. AP poll, yep. Of course, not yep. Official. Which game was tougher, Washington State or the Huskies? Washington.
What do you mean exactly?
Like, which was, like, a tougher opponent? Like,
I mean, I think Washington is the better team. Washington is better talent.
Okay.
Washington and Oregon are pretty similar talent-wise. Washington's the better team. Now, I think the scheme by Washington State gives them trouble, gives Oregon trouble. And I also think Oregon played pretty good against Washington. Even though Washington, you know, got out to that lead, Washington played pretty well. I think they're pretty evenly matched teams, and Oregon was just a little bit better, so they beat them in the end. Oregon didn't play that great against Washington State. Oregon had 10 penalties for 100-plus yards. Oregon had 4 drop passes. Oregon missed, I don't know how many tackles, but it had to be in the double digits. I just don't think we played very good against Washington. Oregon missed an extra point. I mean, there's just like little execution things that Oregon didn't do very well. You know, drop passes, missed tackles, penalties. That's not great execution. And against Washington, we missed some tackles, but Washington just made some plays. We didn't have very many penalties. We didn't have any turnovers. Yet Washington was ahead. So I think we played better against Washington, and I think Washington's the better team. But Washington State scheme with the air raid and the pirate and his mad scientist ability and just not playing a great game, executing very well, I think it was a tougher game.
One of the comments, one of the users are asking, will Arizona State game be the trap game for Oregon?
No. Well, I mean, trap game. No, so trap game normally means you're looking ahead, which, okay. No, actually, if you want to say who I think could be a trap game, possibly just outside, it'd be Oregon State. Because, wow. Let's say Oregon's 10-1. They beat Oregon State. They're going to, well, when they're playing Oregon State, pretty much Oregon's going to win the Pac-12 North. If they're going into the Oregon State game 10-1, they beat Oregon State the last 2 years by 40, 60 points. Oregon State's not very good. Could I see Oregon looking ahead to the Pac-12 title game against Oregon State? Yeah, I could. I could see them not playing very well against Oregon State. I could see it being closer than it should be. But because Arizona State comes before Oregon State? No. Actually, because Arizona State's the top of the last three games, Arizona State and Oregon State. Arizona State's the toughest game. So why they would overlook the toughest game would seem kind of odd. I don't think it's a trap game.
You do have a point. Maybe we'll see Cam Lewis score some.
Because it seems like Arizona, looking ahead to Arizona State, or Oregon State, looking ahead to the Pac-12 title game, those scare me a little more as, like, overlooking and not playing up to your potential. Why you go into a night game in the desert against a decent Arizona State team and overlook that, that'd be odd. But who knows? We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Real quick, Packers beat the Chiefs 31-24. Give us a quick 10-second recap.
I fell asleep. it was 17-17. Packers were actually really struggling against a very second-string quarterback. But, you know, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, those guys are talented, skilled players. But they're able to come back. They're able to win. Packers are 7-1. I still have my questions. I still think we have a marginal receiving core without Devontae Adams. The defense still at times gives up big plays. We're 7-1, and we're one of the best teams in the NFL. But still, let's see. I like Aaron Rodgers. I'm still a question mark about the Packers.
And also running back Aaron Jones, 67-yard touchdown reception.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a stud, yeah.
He's a stud. Okay, game predictions. Are you ready?
Yep.
Michigan at Maryland.
Michigan. Give me a good one.
Oh, this is heavy today. Kansas State at Kansas.
Kansas State.
Miami at FSU.
FSU.
That's a big rival. Florida at Georgia.
Great game. I picked against Florida so much this year, but I think once again, I just think Georgia coming off a bye, I think they really play really well. I think Georgia beats Florida in a close game.
By a field goal.
You something along those lines. Yeah.
Not by Cam Lewis. Utah at Washington.
Okay. I told you I was going to say something. Washington has a bye. Washington's 5-3. Washington is going to come out prepared. Washington, Kyle Whittingham has been 1-4 against Chris Peterson. Kyle Whittingham and Utah have never won in Washington. I think Washington actually beats Utah.
Wow.
I think it's an extremely close game, but I think Washington not only wins this game, but I actually think they win out because there's kind of a negative perception. They lost 3 games already. They're not competing for a Pac-12 title. I think they come out and play pretty well. I think Washington wins. They upset Utah. And therefore, I think USC loses to Oregon, but I think they win out, and USC represents the Pac-12 South in the title game.
That should be a good game no matter what. SMU at Memphis.
I'm going to go Memphis. I like SMU's a good team, but I like Memphis at home.
Finally, give us a score, Oregon at USC.
Okay, I battered this one out. I think Oregon once again gets a defensive touchdown like last week. I think that kind of is a difference. I think they give up yards. But I think Slovis makes a couple more mistakes than Herbert. And I think Oregon on the road wins 38-28.
No winning field goal by Cam Lewis this time.
No, but I think it's a 10-point game. I think it's kind of in that 10-point region. I think Oregon wins. I think they cover, but I think it's a pretty close game. It's a good game.
How's my boy Spencer Webb doing?
Good, man. He had 3 catches last week. He's been a solid replacement for the lack of production by Jacob Breland.
It's National Chocolate Day. What is your favorite chocolate candy? Snickers, Reese's, Kit Kat, M&M's, and if you were not in the diet, perfect world.
What did you say again?
Snickers, Reese's, Kit Kat, or M&M's?
Reese's. I thought you said Reese's. Yep.
Reese's win by 60% to Snickers 40%. So far, they're probably going to win. Most likely, because Recess is a favorite among sportscast listeners. Tyler, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Jacob Breland?
At TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast. And visit us at the Sportscast One on Twitter or on the website, thesportscast.net. Tyler's been live tweeting the Oregon game and the Packer game throughout the weekend. And, of course, receiving some flack from Oregon State Beaver fans. Anyways,
were they talking trash this week?
I have not seen them in a while.
Oh yeah, back to that. Okay, I thought I might missed it. I ignore if people comment anymore.
Yeah, we got some. We got them and UCF fans kind of go back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it is what it is. Anyways, LSU number one. You have Ohio State as number one. Quick, why'd you pick Ohio State number one?
They're the most complete team. I mean, what can you not say about them? They have the best defensive line with the best player in Chase Young. They have, just a great offense. J.K. Dobbins, one of the better running backs in college football. They have a great receiving core. They have one of the better quarterbacks in Justin Fields. They have a complete. They have a great secondary with guys like Jeffrey Okuda and Sean Wade. They're good. I hate to say it, but Ohio State's really good. And I don't know if you saw, I put up the Sportscast Heisman favorites.
You did.
But Chase Young is number three right now.
I can't.
Can a defensive player win the Heisman Trophy?
And you had Jalen Hurts over Tua.
Tua's been out two games.
Okay.
I think if you go look across the board, Tua's dropped. I mean, he's missed two games.
Interesting. You go on the sportscast.net, read Tyler's top rankings in Heisman and also the top best teams in the nation. He has he does have LSU as number two. AP has him as number one, but that will we'll see what happens in next week when they play Alabama. So that should be a showdown for the country. Anyways, Tyler, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast. Bye.